So when you do go voting in those local government elections in 10 days' time, why are you voting? What are you voting for? Are you voting to get someone in? Are you voting to keep someone out? Are you voting on your instincts, on your family tradition? Are you voting because you feel kind of you should? Or are you staying away because you're thinking to yourself, it's not going to make the slightest bit of difference anyway what I vote for, because I, you know, my party or my particular preference doesn't have the sort of support that might be required in order to make an impact? Well, study by the Bureau for Economic Research at Stellenbosch says local economic development and better municipal service delivery are vital if South Africa wants to broaden economic participation and reverse its unemployment trend. In other words, local government can make or break your life. You've got to be voting, surely. Professor Johan Kirsten is director at the Bureau for Economic Research. I'm paraphrasing a long and detailed and intensive report, Professor Johan Kirsten, but it is that local government either makes or breaks your family's well-being. And if that's not a good enough reason to go out and vote in the local government election, I'm not sure what is.
Yes, and but the question then is, if you vote, will the new councillor or new political party make a change to our desperate situation? I think that's the fundamental question. And in this report, we highlight a number of systemic problems with the way local government operates. And it goes from the way that the councils make the decisions to the efficiencies of the bureaucrats and the people that are appointed in the critical positions in the municipalities that contribute to these poor outcomes that we talk about in the report. And I think you raised a point early in your introduction that if we think about economic growth, we think about the ability of an entrepreneur to invest and to grow, we often talk about macroeconomic policies and national policies that need to be in place. We think about localization strategies and all these things, but at the end of the day, what happens at the grassroots level, the cold face of the operator, is really the things that constrain our development pathway.
I mean, we've seen, for example, National Treasury being forced by the courts to intervene in the municipality around Standerton after Astral Foods took National Treasury to court over the ineffective local government there. We've seen the implosion of the municipality around Lichtenburg, which caused the cheese factory belonging to Clover. They spent billions moving it from there to Etiquini simply because of a collapse in services. And these companies tried to negotiate for years and years and years with the incumbents, and eventually they give up. They just can't do it anymore because nothing is going on. And government admits that there are a high number of dysfunctional municipalities that do require intervention.
Yes, no, absolutely. And the question, you're so correct in the way you summarize this, and the question is really, how do you solve the problem? Is it a human resource dimension? Is it the way that the decisions are made about the way that you do your capital spending? Because obviously at local government level, a large chunk of the service you need to deliver to these companies that you now mentioned, from electricity to water to the sewage system to the roads, all require engineering works. And it quite often happened that the specs and the way that the contracts are written for these service providers are not written according to the longevity of that particular infrastructure, and therefore you find that things break. On top of that, you have maintenance that are not spent well. So you find that a whole range of issues contribute on top of the corruption, on top of the way that the decision making takes place at the local government level, and the sort of arrogance of the officials towards those people, the communities they need to serve.
Is local government broken? Is it irreparable? I mean, do you make that sort of far-reaching finding?
It's quite extensively broken, especially at your smaller local municipalities. The larger metros tend to survive and tend to deliver, given that they are well-resourced. But the reality is also, we specifically focus on the intermediate municipalities, intermediate city municipalities, and they in the metros contribute about a third of South Africa's population. So you can think of the investment of entrepreneurs, the well-being of households that are all impacted by a handful of municipalities. It's basically 32 plus 8. It's about 40 municipalities that are responsible for the well-being of our economy, of our society. And then the hardship in the local municipalities, in the small rural areas, where the capacity of making key decisions and the capacity to implement these things that are necessary to improve the lives of the poor is really quite shocking. And we highlight the underspending of capital budgets. We highlight the underspending of infrastructure grants that are transferred from National Treasury, which all result in a situation where communities and businesses are not able to function properly.
And for many, many years, I suppose people who lived in the wealthier urban areas might have said, well, small town South Africa is not my problem. If people want to vote for dysfunctional government and they do it over and over again, frankly, you know, you get the government you deserve. The problem with that, however, is that people then give up on the small towns and the medium-sized towns, and they start moving to the bright lights of the big cities when there is electricity. And they then find themselves living on the periphery of society in the hope that they will find themselves a better life. And they do it out of sheer desperation, as generations of people have done all over the world. What Helen Ziller was castigated for calling economic migrants to the Western Cape at one point. But, that pattern has persisted as these small towns die. And so they die, they become worse and worse off, and the big cities have to absorb the strain of more and more people.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a very valid point. You know, as people migrate out of the smaller towns, you lose capacity, human capacity, you lose entrepreneurs, and you lose revenue capacity for those towns. And then the speed of migration is too fast for the urban metros to handle this, and you find that they are also then constrained to deliver the services, and then you get a service protest itself. We've, in the report, highlight the population growth of the urban metros compared to the local municipality. And the urban metros grow at more than 2% per annum over the last few years. And in the local municipalities, it's below 1%. So that illustrates you that the relative growth and the faster growth of the population in urban centers contribute to exactly the problem that you've highlighted now.
What is the solution? I mean, do you dare propose a solution? Is it a political solution? Is it an interventionist solution? Is it a management problem?
All of the above, and I'm not sure that voting a new council will change the outcome. But if we can think about a sort of a directive to ensure that people are appointed at the key positions according to skills and their basic capabilities at the engineering service, the chief financial officer, and that they are protected against the whims of the councillors, because you have many stories of councillors threatening the CFOs for delivering certain things that are out of line in terms of directives. So there's probably a need for strong interventions and strong oversight from either province or national over local government to make sure that the basic elements of providing a better life for all is in place.
Thank you, Professor Johan Kirsten, Director at the Bureau for Economic Research.